You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. You join us on Monday's edition of the podcast, Bank Holiday Monday. No fewer than six domestic meetings, five jumpers and one on the flat. Two cards from Ireland as well. There is plenty to get your teeth stuck into. Sam Norris here on the podcast and joining me to look at some of the action is Ollie Pimlott. How are you, Oliver?
Very well, Samuel. Good to be here.
Good. There's plenty of it on Bank Holiday Monday. You certainly can't complain.
No, I can't. I think six domestic meetings and three Irish, is it? So, absolute bumper. Bumper cards on Bank Holiday Monday.
Yeah, loads and loads to get stuck into. And, of course, we see the first flat meeting from Redcar of the season. Has your appetite been wet for the flat season?
I think after Cheltenham, I'm ready for the flat. Obviously, we've seen three two-year-old races, all won by Mark Johnson monsters.
Yes.
We really get underway on the flat turf tomorrow. Obviously, it's a little bit strange. Usually, we start with Doncaster. We were going to start with Musselburgh, obviously, but that had to be abandoned. So, yeah, Redcar starts the turf flat campaign over here in the UK. And looking forward to the flat starting back now. Certainly starting to get back into flat mode.
Yeah, and me. And, of course, we've already seen the Irish Lincoln over at the Curragh last week. It was good to have it back over there. And we saw some exciting prospects, one of Hamdan Al McToombs that could make into a group class horse.
The Irish had another meeting at Cork yesterday, so they're well underway. And as I say, really really looking forward to the flat now. I think after Cheltenham, get Aintree and then Punchestown, and with well and truly in flat mode. But certainly the Dubai World Cup meeting whetted the appetite yesterday, Sammy.
Yeah, you're right. Speaking of group class horses, there were quite a few on show at Dubai. And, of course, the big one, the World Cup itself, won by California Chrome, second in the race last year. And it was a bit more of a satisfying result for us this year. I think people left a little bit flat after last year's renewal.
Yeah, obviously a huge price winner last year under William Buick. Obviously, he didn't have the same result on Frosted this year. But arguably, I don't think he got a great ride from Victor Espinosa last year. I think he made up for it. He had a real wide trip last year. He travelled, went with the pace last year. This year he was a little bit more patient. I think he learned from last year. I think, hand on heart, he was probably the worthy winner last year. But Art Sherman's trainer said he was £5-10 better. He certainly proved that yesterday. I don't think it was a vintage renewal, because Frosted was chasing home American Pharaoh in the Triple Crowns. He's not quite top Group 1 class, is he? And you look through the rest of the race, what was it, 15-8 joint favourites, and we were 8-10-1 bar. So yeah. I don't think it was a vintage renewal, but it was won by a very class horse. And it's good to see a horse like him still in training, Sam, because we've seen it with American Pharaoh. He's been retired. But since the switch back to the dirt for the World Cup, obviously Sheikh Mohammed wants to try and encourage the American horses back over, and he's certainly done that with the California Chrome coming for the last 2 years. So, yeah. A satisfactory win, and obviously with the saddle slipping as well, even more so. It could have been a very costly slip of the saddle, that with, what was it, $6 million to the winner. Could have been a very costly saddle slip indeed, but he managed to stay in the plate at Victor Espinosa, and he gave it a lot better. I thought he should have won last year. I don't think Espinosa had his best day last season, but certainly made up for it yesterday. California Chrome, the Chromies were delighted, weren't they? And it's nice to see an old horse like him still in training and still getting the job done.
Yeah, you're right. It is good to see these flat horses staying training. And a tilt at the Breeders' Cup has been confirmed for him as well.
Yeah, so and that's going to be really exciting, because it's going to take on a lot of the best American horses at the Breeders' Cup as well. So good to see him kept in training. And it's been I think he's now the winning most American horse in terms of prize money, taking over Curling as well. So Art Sherman, 79-year-old trainer, is absolutely living the dream, isn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, I hope I can have that kind of exuberance when I'm 79. I wouldn't mind that kind of cash.
$6 million,
well,
though, Sam, you'd be very exuberant, my friend.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. It was a good day as well for some English horses. We saw Postponed, of course, going for Roger Varian and Andrea Atzaini. You do feel a little bit little bit down for Luca Cumani as well, who of course is responsible for so much of that horse's success in the past. Obviously, Sheikh Obaid's moved all the horses and he's got off to a good start under Roger Varian.
Yeah, I think every horse that he's run for Sheikh Mohammed Obaid Al Maktoum has won so far for Roger Varian. I think five or six have ran and they've all won. And Persephone's done an excellent job with it. Fair play to Luca Cumani. Obviously won the King George with the horse last year. But Roger Varian had him spot on for his prep race. That put him spot on yesterday. And he's a very good horse. I think he's joint favourite now for the Arc. They're going to take in the St. James's Palace as well. He's certainly got enough speed for a mile, 2 furlongs. Yeah. But he's going to take a bit of beating in the Arc because he looks even a little bit improved on what he showed last season. Andrea Razzini, good to see him have another big winner because he's not had the greatest strike rate out in Dubai, Andrea Razzini. But Roger Varian, I think, is an excellent trainer. Obviously, he transferred those 35 horses from Luca Cumani to Roger Varian. And it's worked so far for Sheikh Obaid.
Yeah, certainly has. A fantastic day at Maidan. All weather finals there, of course, on Good Friday. Ollie, did you catch any of the action there?
Saw a little bit of it, but it's not really for me, Sam. I think it's a bit of a gimmick. You've got half decent horses running for decent prize money, but for me, the proper stuff starts tomorrow on the turf at Redcar.
Yeah, fair enough. Any turf horses you're particularly looking forward to this season? Of course, we've got the Lincoln from Doncaster on Saturday, which is very much the opening day in a lot of people's minds of the flat season.
Yeah, really looking forward to the Brocklesby, obviously, this year.
Yes.
With Wesley Ward having a runner, it's reputed to be a Royal Ascot 2-year-old, so it's going to take a bit of beating. But we mentioned Mark Johnson's 2-year-old earlier. 3 runners, 3 winners. First season stallion in Helmet won 2 of the races at Kempton yesterday. And I actually had a speculative bet yesterday, Sam, looking ahead to the season.
Okay.
On Mark Johnson, champion trainer.
All right.
40-1.
Okay.
You think of the 2-year-olds he had last year, likes of Burattino, etc., Lumiere.
Yeah.
Lumiere's favourite for the Guineas.
Well, there was a spell last year, wasn't there, where the Mark Johnson 2-year-olds were, I mean, you could almost back and blind at one point.
Yeah, well, you can at the minute, can't you? 3 from 3. But
yeah,
he's got a better crop of 2-year-olds this year than he had last year.
Right.
Obviously, he had some really good 2-year-olds last year, which won group races, but these could be even better this year. He's got Lumiere and some really good older horses, which he didn't have last season. At 40-1, I think he was about £1 million off last season. If he can hit the target in a 3 or 4 group races with some 2-year-olds, Lumiere obviously is going to take in all the big 3-year-old races this season. You'll see worse 40-1 bets.
Okay.
Also reading as well, again looking forward to the season, I think Sylvester D'Souza is absolute nap material to win the Jockeys Championship.
Do you think he'll win it again?
10-11 here with William Hill. He's had a meeting with Mark Johnson a couple of weeks ago. Mark Johnson's going to be fully behind him in his championship bid. Ryan Moore's got other things. I think it bothers him, Ryan Moore.
Well, that's been evidenced, really, hasn't
it? Yeah, I don't think he's bothered by the championship at all. Evidenced by, you know, he's riding in Hong Kong,
he'd rather
Australia.
Have one riding shut in than a full book at Chelmsford, wouldn't he?
Exactly. So I don't think that's going to come into the equation. If FCS says fit and sound, no injuries, I think he'll win comfortably, as he did last season. But he didn't ride that many for Mark Johnson last year. I think he's going to ride a good few more, obviously, with all these 2-year-olds he's got a huge string. Again, Mark Johnson has the backing of him. SDS. So there's two sort of anti-post punts, which are last year season long, which the listeners might want to get involved with. Both probably pro-Mark Johnson, because a lot of SDS's wins are going to come from him. But I think he's going to have another great season, Johnson, 3 from 3 with his 2-year-olds. And I think 40-1, got the likes of Burattino, Lumiere, there's 3-year-olds this season.
Yeah.
Got a lot of very good 2-year-olds, obviously. 40-1 for the trainer's title is just a little bit too big. You know, it's a speculative punt, but 40-1, I thought that was too big. And obviously, far shorter price, SDS, 10-11 to win the trainer's championship. Given that Ryan Moore's second favourite, I don't think he's bothered at all about the trainer, the Jockeys Championship. I think Sylvester D'Souza, as long as he stays fit and injury free, I think he'll win by 20 or 30 winners.
Okay, yeah, fair enough. I mean, he's got an excellent chance as we record this. Ollie's got a couple of decent rides at Wolverhampton today, and I think we've only seen Ryan Moore once in the UK over the winter.
Exactly. Sylvester's going to go to Bath and the likes of Brighton for 5-6 rides.
Yeah.
Ryan Moore's not going to get out of bed for that, is he?
yeah, correct.
So that's what you got running for you. So there's two sort of anti-post punts for the season. Sylvester D'Souza for the title, I think, is a great bet, 10-11, and a more speculative one. I think Mark Johnson, given how good his 2-year-olds were last season, he's got some better 3-year-olds, with likes of Lumiere and the Guineas, etc. He's taken all the good 3-year-old races, Burattino, etc. Got some outstanding two-year-olds by all accounts as well. So 40-1, just 40 is a little bit big to the for the trainers' title. So there's two punts looking ahead to the flat season.
Okay, fair enough. A couple of anti-post fancies for Riley Pinrock then. But because I like to get my money's worth from you, Oliver, I'm going to ask for four more selections for Monday's action, if you don't mind. We'll start at Chepstow with their 3:30. Handicap chase here over 2 miles and 3 furlongs. We've got 9 runners that go down for this Class 2. And a bit of a difference in form. We've got some arriving in quite good form and quite a few failed to complete last time.
Yeah, this is a decent handicap chase. Plenty of prize money to the winner. Best part of £16,000 to the winner. So a lot of prize money off on offer at Chepstow tomorrow. There'll be a bumper crowd there. Start with Grey Gold, the top weight here. Course winner, who's better than ever when adding to his tally at Newbury back in November. Runner-up back here in February. I just think he's a little bit too high in the handicap. Kieran Gethings takes off a valuable 5. Good value for that 5. But I think Grey Gold, obviously, no Kerry Lee runner at the minute can be ignored. He's had a fantastic first season with the trainer's licence. He's got a good strike rate at Chepstow. But I just thought he was a little bit too high in the weights. He seems to be hitting his head on the wall his last 2 or 3 runs. It was a career best last time. But off a mark of 152, I think he's probably a little bit too high in the weights. So proven stayer Sandy Beach took another step forward when he registered his second chase win. That was over a shorter here at Chepstow last month, but he's gone up £5 for that. So again, that could stop him. I'm going to take a chance here on the quite lightly raced Blandford's Gunner. First season over fences, the son of Needle Gun. Best effort when he chased home Fairy Raff at Sandown last month. Steps up in trip, which must be a positive. He's half-brother to Grade 2 winning stayer Witchwood's Brook. I think off a mark of 129, he's got a very low weight, 10 stones free, and what's going to be very testing conditions at Chepstow tomorrow. Lightliest race horse in the field. This is his first season chasing, but off a mark of 129, good pot on offer. Local trainer Evan Williams got a good strike rate at the track. I thought he was the one for me. Blandford's Gunner in the 3:30 at Chepstow.
Blandford's Gunner then, Ollie's choice for Evan Williams and Adam Wedge in the 3:30. We stay at Chepstow then and go to their 4:40. Another handicap chase for us here. 2 miles and 7 furlongs the trip this time. 10 runners will contest this Class 3. Who's on your mind here?
Yeah, another really competitive event, Sam. Will probably be 4-1 the field here, so very competitive event. Again, good prize money offer, the best part of £10,000 to the winner. Start with the top weights here, then Chase the Spud and Ned Stark. Very much an in-out profile for Chase the Spud. Lightly raced, just denied on Lingfield return. Obviously, the Welsh National didn't go to plan. Won a 400 event at Exeter last month. But he's very much in out, isn't he? Second pulled up first. 2 pulled up prior to that at the end of last season. Just lost his way. But again, 11 stone 12. Mark of 1-3-4 might be a little bit too high. Ned Stark, the same goes with him as well. Ran well on his return. He obviously had a long absence when he won a Grade 2 at Wetherby. But 14 months ago, that was. Long absence to contend with since. Ran well on his debut back, but was disappointing after that. He's another one who looks to be a little bit too high in the handicap off the mark of 1-3-3. One who's dropped hugely in the weights here and is going to be the selection is Wick Hill. Won the Ida back in 2014. Ran back in the Ida as his return last month. Ran pretty disappointingly, had to be said, in that race. Finished 8-17 behind Rocking Blues. But this is a horse, Sammy, who was rated 142 in the past. Runs off a mark of 127. Mark is plummeting fastly. He finished last season poorly, didn't he? Fell, pulled up, and then, of course, a pretty low-key start back, finishing only 8th of 17 behind the runaway winner, Rocking Blues. But he's gone down another £6 for that. Got a mark of 127. He was 133 for his debut in the Ida last month. This could be his day. He likes to get his foot in. It's going to be soft ground at Chepstow tomorrow, and really plummeting Mark. It was a long absence to overcome. He didn't have a great record fresh either, so he might well have needed that run in the Ida. So Wick Hill for me off a plummeting mark. Takes a bit of a leap of faith, but he's extremely well handicapped, the 12-year-old, on pass form.
Okay, Ali siding with the old boy then, Wick Hill in the 4:40 at Chepstow. We'll go to Market Razor now then for a handicap hurdle. This is their 3:35. 2 miles, 2 furlongs is the trip for the 10 runners here. What did you like in this contest?
Knapp selection come here, and it comes in the form of Cloudy Dream for the inform Malcolm Jefferson and Brian Hughes. I thought a mark of 122 was extremely lenient. I think he can make it 2 out of 3 over Timber here. Returns from a break. Clearly they've waited for the better ground. I'm not sure whether they'll get it at Market Raising tomorrow, but I think they've missed the majority of the rain that the country's had. So if they're going to get decent ground anyway, it's probably going to be Market Raising. Really well bred, this son of Cloudings. As I say, he's won from 2 over Timber. Won 2 bumpers, but has proved to be even better over hurdles. The form of his Doncaster win has been franked since, giving a little bit of a break to freshen him up. I think this is a really smart horse, Cloudy Dream, and a mark of 1-2-2, I think, is very lenient indeed. So Knapp selection tomorrow in the 3:35 at Market Raisin is Cloudy Dream for Malcolm Jefferson and Brian Hughes.
Strong vote there for Cloudy Dream in the 3:35 at Market Raisin. The final race on today's podcast then comes in the shape of the 4 o'clock at Fakenham. A handicap chase here over an extended 3 mile trip. Just 7 runners line up for this one, Ali, so we lose our 3 places for each way. But what did you like in the race?
Really difficult race to finish off the card. Fakenham for us, Sammy. I thought this was devilishly tricky. Booking the Trend is probably going to go off favourite here. It was a winner last time, obviously, took advantage of a big drop in the race. Weights even, when he's a winner at Market Raisin, that was 2 weeks ago, but it's gone up to £9 for that. Runs off a mark of 124. Alan Johns, based with Tim Vaughan, takes off a valuable 5. But I'm going to look away from him and go for a big price here in the form of Atlantic Roller. Plenty of ability, this horse. He's a better horse over hurdles than he is over fences. But Chris Gordon's team are just starting to run back into form, Sam. And I think that is significant. Had a horse run pretty well again today. His horses have been very much in out this season, but starting to run back into form. Tom Cannon, the stable jockey, rides in. Atlantic Roller, at probably a double-figure price, is going to be the tentative selection in the 4 o'clock at Fakenham. Well handicapped on his hurdles form.
Atlantic Roller then it is for Ollie in the 4 o'clock at Fakenham. If you don't mind, then just give us a quick recap of your 4 selections for the action on Easter Monday.
In the 3:30 at Chepstow, I'm going with Blandford's Gunner. The 4:40 at Chepstow, I'm going with Wick Hill. The 3:35 at Market Raisin, and Knapp selection is Cloudy Dream. And in the 4 o'clock at Fakenham, I'm going with Atlantic Roller.
Thank you very much, Ollie, and enjoy the action on Monday.
Thank you, Sammy.
Join us here at William Hill on Racing Radio with Darren Owen, Craig Forsyth and Lord John Budden in the studio, bringing you the best of the action on a very, very busy Easter Monday. You've been listening to the Daily Racing Podcast.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.